You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman. This week, we got ATL, Sharday, Juju Gotti of the Dan Le Batard Show joining us. We talk Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend, fights, and more fights. And we talk about why Patrick Mahomes just might be the GOAT. We got that and so much more. Let's get to it.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't control it, how can you teach? Discipline is not the enemy of enthusiasm.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Journeyman Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. As always, I'm your host, seven-year NFL veteran and Hall of Fame, wait for it, attendee, Andrew Hawkins. Not to be confused with the real Hall of Famer. I'm joined today by my boy, my guy, Juju Gotti, who is an N1 mixtape student and WNBA purist. That's how he describes himself. Juju, what's happening, bro?
Yes, sir, man. Just feeling so honored to be a part of the illustrious Journeyman Podcast, man. I salute you, brother. You've been a big, big figure. You know what I mean? Out here in this NFL street since the pandemic, with your memes and your joy. Bro, I'm a big fan, so I'm honored to be here.
Juju, I've met a lot of people in my 38-year career of life, and you might be the most grateful person that I've ever met in any walk of life, bro. I just feel like you just consume life. And everything is just always good, bro.
Yeah. I've been all the way toe up before. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've been homeless before. I've been broke a lot. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So having a chance to be around people like yourself and just professional people as well as people that look like us that actually do something other than sell the most drugs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Shoot the most folks. You a great example. So shoot, I light up when I'm around you, bro.
Juju, I appreciate you wearing a Bengals jersey. That's the number one thing that I appreciate. You know how to make yourself a guest in somebody else's home. You come and make them feel comfortable, man. I feel good when you got the stripes on.
Hey, man, I'm trying to represent, you know what I mean?
I like that.
Be a little bit of a thorn.
I love it. I love it. Juju, did you get a chance to watch any of the Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend?
I watched them in snippets, you feel me? I watched a couple of them here and there.
Couple snippets. Is there anything that stuck out to you? I was there. I was in Canton for the first time. I had never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. One of my boys, we talked about this on previous shows, one of my boys, Joe Thomas, who was a teammate of mine in Cleveland, he played 10,363 consecutive NFL snaps for a record. He is also the Hall of Famer now that has by far the most losses in his career of any Hall of Famer, which is great. It's a crazy stat. We were up there kicking it. Did you watch? Was there anything that stood out to you from the weekend?
Bruh, let alone he lost a lot of games, but he lost a lot of weight since he's been in the league. Now my boy lost another him, you feel me?
Straight
he
up.
Like he could audition for what they played, Guardians of the Galaxy, one of them folks at this point. Back then he looked like a refrigerator, goddamn.
It's crazy because he had his abs just I don't really have abs no more. I stopped working out. When I retired, I immediately cold turkey stopped working out. I have not worked out since I retired. And Joe did the complete opposite.
Nah,
I promised you.
You done did a push-up or something, bro.
I did a push-up every once in a while. Every once in a while, I look in the mirror and be like, damn, man, what happened? And I'll do like 17 push-ups and get tired and then go back to eating. And you know what I'm saying? So to watch Joe, to your point, lose all that weight, the dude is chiseled. It was really dope to celebrate with him, you know, because I was never like a player that – I don't want to say I didn't care about the Hall of Fame. I do – have a reverence for obviously anybody who's great at anything. But I never aspired to be a Hall of Fame player. That wasn't my – I wanted to play one game in the league, and I thought that was far-fetched. So everything after that was like, oh, this is crazy. So it never crossed my mind that I ever even could think about getting into the Hall of Fame. And maybe that was a bad way to go about it. Maybe that was just like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I went into it wrong, but that's just – I was being honest, Jew. So when
that
I'm
might
there,
not be the way. That might not be the way for kids. That might think, but I can dig it.
Yeah, that might not be the message I want to preach. But so when I'm there, I found myself like, yo, this is really cool. Because if you think about it, there's over 35,000 former NFL football players. And there's only 371 in the Hall of Fame, right? So to have played with somebody like Joe, who was dominant even on the shittiest team of the decade, and to be able to get recognized like that, it was a really dope environment, man. I got to see some old teammates. We all acted like it was a Super Bowl. It was crazy. The Browns, we all acted like we won the Super Bowl. It was like our Super Bowl, our career had come to a head, and it was like, yo, we did it. We were all acting like it was us going into the Hall of Fame. But Joe, it was dope, and he helped us be a part of it, man.
Yeah, a win is a win.
A win is a win, damn it.
On the map, you feel me? In the hall.
That's
you,
it.
Do you think like Deion Primetime say, should it be tears in the Hall of Fame? Like, I think Joe, he a little above a couple of other folks that made it in the Hall.
I don't know.
Should it be levels to it, or should it just be the Hall?
You know what? I think there is such an elitist mentality. Now I'm going to rail against the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There is an elitist mentality when it comes to football players, even by Hall of Fame standards. So yes, Deion Sanders, he's in a class of his own as a player. There's certain players that are like that. But to say like we're one of the 371 best of 35,000 and then still feel like you're not in an exclusive enough category is wild conceited. But that's what makes him great. That's the difference between the Deion Sanders and the Andrew Hawkins, because I wouldn't have that mentality. I had some drama this weekend too, Jew. I had some drama.
Oh, Lord. What's going on?
This is what happened. Okay, so we go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, right? I'm there. My wife is there. My kids are there. We're having a good time celebrating Joe Thomas. And we're like, let's go check out the museum. So we're going to check out the museum. The people at the Hall of Fame were super gracious. You know, I played in Cleveland, so I get a lot of love, you know, in Canton. That's Browns country. And so everybody.
Yeah, I know the waves was 360.
Waves was
360. I already seen you out in the wild before. I know how them things.
You know,
I had disorganized folks.
You know what I mean? The beard was perfectly trimmed and everything. So I'm there. They're doing autograph sessions. Now, I got this football, Jew. On this football, I had 8 of the top 11 NFL rushers of all time on this football signature. I got Walter Payton. I got Emmitt Smith. I got Curtis Martin. I got Jerome Bettis. I got Jim Brown. I was only missing 3 people on this ball. Tony Dorsett, Barry Sanders, and Adrian Peterson. They're the only 3 that I'm missing from the top 11 NFL rushers of all time. And I've been grabbing signatures on this ball, I think, for 15 years. Like, as I go to events, I take it with me. So, of course, I'm at the Hall of Fame. I got the football with me. So, Tony Dorsett is signing autographs, right? So, I'm like, oh, okay, bet. You know, I'm going to go get the autograph. So, they got these long lines, and you got to pay for a seat. Like, you got to pay to get in line to get an autograph, right?
Whoa, time out. Pay for a spot in line to get an autograph?
Yeah, that's how it works, man.
Bro, the children of the future. What the hell is that?
The children are future revenue. That's what the children are. And that's the point. That's the great part. That's what the Hall of Famers look forward to, is because now the rates that you can charge for appearances, autographs, and you basically can ride that job for the rest of your life. Like, you got the gold jacket. Anywhere you show up, there's just a certain amount of, you know, it's a price to do business, which I'm all for. Now, I make the mistake of thinking, okay, I'm an NFL player. I'm here with the Hall of Fame. One of my best friends in the world is going in. I can skip the line. Well, I didn't try to skip the line, though. All right, hear me out. I'm like, I'm going to use my pro football privilege here. So I know Andre Reed really well. That's one of the big homies. He's an underrated Hall of Famer. He's one of those guys that doesn't get the love that he deserves. And I make sure I always give him his flower. I get my Jew on when I'm around Andre Reed, because I'm like, yo, you like that big bruh, right? So I go say what's up to Andre Reed, who's signing autographs. And, you know, we chatting, and that's when I spot Tony. I'm like, oh, Ben, I'm going to go get the autographs. They take me over there. Andre's like, yeah, for sure. Let's walk over. I'm like, hey, Mr. Dorsett, can you sign? He's all good. He signs it. And I had met him a couple years earlier. I grew up around where he played football. I'm from Pennsylvania. So I was like, yo, this is really, really dope.
Nice.
His people were pissed.
Oh,
they was pissed. I feel the eyes coming like from the right side, like what in the hell do you think you're doing, right? And so I get the autograph, I move on, but then I'm like, I don't feel right about, like, you know what I'm saying? So I go over to try to explain, like, okay, y'all, I actually bought three signatures. Like, you know, yeah. Not just one, I bought three to make sure it's not, like, I'm not trying to take nobody's money, right?
Right.
And so I'm trying to explain that I'm like, yo, I'm with the Browns. I'm here with the Hall of Fame. My boy's going. They were like, we do not care. It is the way you go about it. Who the hell do you think you are? They didn't say hell. I shouldn't say that. But they were basically like, yo, get out of my face. And there was nothing I could do to convince them that I wasn't doing things the right way. So I got my signature, Jew, but I don't feel great about it.
I don't feel great either.
You know what
brother.
I'm saying?
Oh my God!
I don't feel great about it, man. I was trying to apologize.
The person telling you this, what was their statue and creed?
Exactly. It was like, I'm talking about they were not happy. I don't know if I've made somebody so not happy in the last 5 to 10 years.
I'm imagining
years,
that person right
you ever
now.
Met somebody you really looked up to and it went wrong, Jew?
Yes, 1,000 times.
Give me
yes.
one. Give me give me the worst situation where you met someone you looked up to so crazy, shoot. And it the situation just couldn't have went worse.
Dang, on the spot too. It's a guy that work in Miami named Stu Gatz. He is like one of my. I love that guy. I used to be a big fan of his. Like when growing up and everything, I met that Joker, and that Joker smelled like so much cigarettes, so much breath, so much cough. Salute them big, bro. But that was a disappointing meet right there.
Every time I meet Stu Gatz, I feel the same way. He's one room over. I love Stu. Did you watch DeMarcus Ware sing the national anthem for the Hall of Fame game?
That was the shock of the weekend.
Really?
My boy got the same singing voice as Fantasia Barrino got there.
Give me your honest thoughts on DeMarcus Ware. And for those that don't know, DeMarcus Ware, who was a part of this year's Hall of Fame class, he sung the national anthem for the annual Hall of Fame game, which kicks off the NFL preseason every year and the weekend where all the players get enshrined. And I think it threw some people off a little bit. I was at the game. I was on the sideline for it. When I say it was a curveball at your boy, Jew, that's putting it lightly, but I want to hear from you first. When you saw DeMarcus Ware showing the vocals on the national anthem, what were your honest to God thoughts?
Bruh, first thought I was like, oh, my boy brave. You feel me?
It's
my
brave
boy
move.
Brave as hell. He got like, this is a real tough man. Like,
tough.
This is the epitome of confidence. This is the epitome of strength. He said, forget it. I'm finna get out here and sing. And it was surprisingly a lot better than I could have ever imagined.
Really?
Like, you feel me? Like, it was better than I could ever imagine. But at the same time, he got this whisper to his voice where he talked like kind of soft.
Tone the whole time.
And it was so funny to me, bro. Like, I couldn't stop. Giving the appreciation, but at the same time having a little chuckle because my boy.
It was brave to go out there. It was brave. Yeah. And I feel like it was one of those situations where he's like, yo, I'm gonna sing it. I'm singing the national anthem. And they were like, yo, we can't tell him no. I don't know if there was like an audition, if they were like, yo, we'll sing something for me.
It
you know,
been.
Now I'm not saying DeMarcus Ware can't sing. I'm not gonna make that declaration on this show. I'm a DeMarcus Ware fan. I was very proud of him and what he did, but I don't think that's the stage he should have debuted his singing. I think we should have been in the lab a little more. You know what I'm saying? He was getting a jacket, and they were like, "Yo, we're gonna give you this opportunity too." I was on the sideline. And I don't know, it wasn't, I'm not going to lie. If I'm being honest, I laughed on the sideline. But I was fighting, it was worse because I was fighting back the laughs. And it wasn't because he was terrible, right? Like he just,
right.
He there terrible. Were certain moments where he didn't get out of a certain key. And I think it just threw us all off. And so when you know when you're not supposed to laugh, it's that much funnier.
Right, bro. Like so, Draymond, Fergie shit.
That's what kept coming to mind, which made me laugh more. And of course, I run to Twitter to see if anybody else is seeing things the way that I'm seeing things, or like, what is the zeitgeist got to say? Like, what is everybody else feeling in this moment?
The zeitgeist.
You know what I'm saying? But I think it's dope. I think every year they go in the Hall of Fame, anybody who makes the Hall of Fame that weekend should be able to do whatever the hell they want. If he wanted to suit up in that game, he should have been able to suit up and play for the Jets or the Browns, pick his team on any amount of plays. Like, it's like a do what you want this weekend, and I hope that happens, and we can point to DeMarcus Ware for the reason why that goes into practice.
He should have kept for that Dallas. There would have been five if he would have did that for Dallas season opener or something. Like, everybody in here, Ware fan, got 94 on their back. Yep. Here in the Hall of Fame, but you got folks that grew up hating you already.
And that so you know what? That's what it was. That's what it was. It's like when you do live podcasts, you know, it's like you always going to bring the house down. Anybody who pays a ticket to watch you come podcast, they're on your side. Everything you say is going to be hilarious. When you're doing stand-up comedy and people don't know you, it's hit or miss. To your point, he should have made his debut in Dallas. That way, no matter what, it was going to be love. And just the atmosphere alone would have pushed it over the top. I completely agree. I ain't going to lie. The first big fight of the week was me fighting back laughter. But we're going to talk about some other fights when we get back, Ju. Drop the bass. Ju, there were some pretty big fights this weekend, man. I don't know if you're a fight fan. We had official fights. We had Jake Paul versus Diaz. That kind of kicked it off. But then that wasn't even like probably top five fights of the week. We had the Alabama fight, Dinah Montgomery. Did you see that fight, man?
Bruh, a tear came from my shed. A tear when I seen my boy Blockelmane swim across that sea, the shining sea, bruh. Like, that shit was real. Like, that was real, like, moving to me, bruh. I salute to everybody in Montgomery, man.
We got to set the stage here. So, in Montgomery, Alabama, the spot was they're on a lake. Apparently, there's a boat parked where it ain't supposed to be parked. Security car comes up, and he starts, like, hey, this boat got to move. I don't know if he's pushing the boat. I don't know if they're starting to, like, physically move the boat after the person who parked the boat there was told it couldn't park the boat there. Now, those people come out, and they say, yo, you're moving our boat. Like, we could park wherever the hell we want. I'm paraphrasing because I couldn't hear what they were saying through the video. Although, the commentary is the best part of the fight video.
Yes.
Whoever she was,
she should be the SAG after.
Oh, my God.
She should be a SAG after striking.
I swear. I don't care. Tony Romo, Doris, I don't care who it is. I'm taking her over any of them on a play-by-play. Anyway, they're upset they're being told to move their boat. And so it gets physical, essentially, and this group of guys who have this boat, they start beating on the security guard. But they didn't know that, you know, I don't know if it was top flight security or what, but his people had his back. They had somebody jumps in from a cruise boat and swims probably about 100 yards. And I'm talking about Michael Phelps form. Michael B. Phelps. To get there and start whooping ass. So now it becomes this melee. And everybody's, I mean, it's literally probably close to 100 people fighting at, I think, the Riverboat Park in Montgomery, Alabama. The clips hit the net. Riverfront Park, apologies. The clips hit the net, and it goes berserk viral. And, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the security guard was black. And it just seemed like a bunch of, like, it was bad. It was like, the people who work for
a lot of what we see.
A lot of the employees came to his aid as well, because you could tell that they, like, know him. And it wasn't like, oh, we're not going to let this just go down. Like, this is what we're not going to do. And so it's this crazy fight, but the clips are ridiculous. I've seen reenactments. I've seen sketches. I saw T-shirts for sale. Yes, when you're watching this, what was, give me your play-by-play here, Juju.
Bruh, speaking of T-shirts, my partner got the Black Woman shirts right now for y'all for $30.
That's crazy.
You feel me? If you want them, check out my boy Rico. You feel me?
This happened 36 hours ago. They already.
Bruh, he
already
had them up last night, too.
He had them up.
I was like, damn, I'm getting Black Woman.
That's crazy.
Bruh, security guard threw his hat to the sky like Bobby Shmurda, and that thing was on, bruh. I'm talking about, it was so funny how he threw the hat is my thing. Like, bro, why did you throw your hat up like that? Is that the code for like,
that was a signal.
We got one.
Hey, like, mount up.
Because as soon as it went up, they did that. Warriors.
Oh,
clicking the bottles. Mount up.
They were kicking people into the river. People were getting hit with chairs.
Hopefully my sis could swim. Like, luckily she could swim.
Yeah.
Thank God, because that would have been a murder one.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight.
But salute all the Caucasian, my Caucasian sisters that was jumping into the fight. That wasn't the best of ideas because
it was
alongside.
A lot more, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot
bunch
more
of sisters watching their man.
I think the thing about that made, I don't want to say any fight is enjoyable, right? Like, it's not, like, don't be out here fighting, man. We adults. Let me just preface that for all my folks that are a part of this. We don't condone violence here on Journeyman.
Nope.
Now, that being said, when in the moments I do enjoy a fight, it's when the victor isn't the one that started it. And that goes across any socioeconomic background, culture, color. If someone starts a fight and then loses, I don't know if there's a more satisfying watch on planet Earth. Right, which brings me to my next fight, Jew. Did you see Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson? You might have missed
my
this one.
Damn.
All right.
Yes, I saw
you
that.
You saw this
yes.
one? This is it hurt you? I'm not going to lie. I liked it. Maybe it's the little guy complex in me. But you know, Anderson all puffed up on them muscles and felt like, you know what? I got a disagreement, blah, blah, blah. Right? and so Jose Ramirez, he's like, hey, man. You know what? Whatever I don't even know baseball enough to know what the hell they were fighting about. He slid into base. I don't know if he's not supposed to go head first, feet first. Maybe he tagged him too hard. I never know why people start fights in other sports. I know why football people start fights. I understand that. I never know like what you're not supposed to do in the other sports, baseball and basketball specifically.
Bruh, oh my God, he should have been bobbing and weaving. That's what I started by saying. Like, Tim, if you're gonna throw the dukes up, you gotta bob and weave. You gotta be the man that got to do it. You feel me?
You got to.
But at this, I mean, when he got Tim, at this point, all Tim can do, he doing the opposite of what he should do right now.
What's that?
Right
what
now,
should
he
be
online
doing?
Tweeting about.
Oh, he's tweeting.
He see all this. Yes, he tweeted up a storm yesterday. He see all the snakes. He see this and that last. The truth gonna come out. Whatever, whatever. Nah, bro, you're doing it all wrong. You're giving us more ammo.
Yeah,
what you should be doing right now is you supposed to be like, bro, which one of y'all hit me? Because who hit me that night? You better lean into it. I got me getting knocked out merch. Buy it from me. Don't buy it from the Cleveland Guardians. They finna make money off you.
Right?
You got to get ahead of this.
You got to get
be
ahead
like,
of bro, it.
Be like, bro, that was not Ramirez that hit me. I looked in his eyes. I saw the ghost of Hector Camacho. That was who hit me. You got to lean into it.
You can always diagnose who lost a fight by who was over-explaining. That is like the first telltale sign. I got in a fight in college once. I didn't start the fight, but I finished it. And I'm like,
okay.
I want some more. I wasn't enough. I didn't get him the way I wanted to get him. And I was like, yo, every time I said, every time I see you, it's on. So don't think this is like a one and done. Every time we cross paths, it's go time. I just want you to know that. And I had somebody, actually, Aaron Donald's older brother, Archie Donald, who was a tough SOB in college. He was like, what you mean you when you see him, it's on again? I'm like, he picked the wrong one. He's like, don't do that. That's what losers do. If you lost, that's something you do. But you and I'm like, So it changed my perspective. So I deaded it there. But to your point about Tim Anderson, him on Twitter, we probably don't see Ramirez on Twitter. Because there was four punches thrown in that fight. Three of them were by Tim Anderson. If I had a scorecard, it would say 0-3. He missed all three. Ramirez threw a one-hitter quitter and dropped him. And he went to sleep for a second. I don't know if you saw the limp arms on the way down, and he woke up halfway through. Yeah. And it was, again, you started
he
the fight.
He took a mid-flight nap. That shit was sad, bro.
Ramirez threw a no-look. He threw a Pistol Pete Maravich no-look, no-look-away jab hook and dropped him.
Bruh. Tim Anderson, please, if you hear, I know you're listening then, Tim. Once you hear this, bro, make one of them, like Hawk made, do the Rodman. Bro, I got out there, I threw my glove down. And then he said, I play for the South Side 45. I don't know who I saw. You know what I mean?
Yep,
lean into it. That, come on, Tim. We need you, bro. Come back. We not all giving up on you.
Nah.
But don't just stay down. I've been down before. Come on, Tim.
So now he got to fight in the Triller series at some point in his career. Because you can't beat him. You can't have that speak on you.
Sidebar, you one of the worst type of people to fight to. I hate what you said about the college. You done terrorized that man all through college, bro. Like every time I see you, it's on. Come on, bitch, bro.
Every
like,
time.
Don't hit me no more.
It's like, you know how nerve-wracking it is to have to walk around and hope you don't see somebody and have to fight? There is nothing.
Right. I'm fresh as hell today. Come on, bro.
And you got to walk around all day. And that was more what I wanted. I want him to wake up every day and be on campus like, damn, I might have to fight again today. Like, you can't even settle in. You got to watch what you wear. You gotta be fight ready every single day. And I wear sweatsuits. I'm a football player. I was leaving weightlifting in sweatsuits and sneakers. I'm ready all the time. Did you see the WNBA fight?
The who fight?
WNBA fight. Did you say?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a WNBA purist.
Yeah, like I'm curious. I don't even want to be the one to talk about it. You tell me what happened in the WNBA fight and give me your perspective on it.
Look, be psycho. Oh, that's my nickname. Brittany Sykes, she was going up to the lane, you feel me? She was the guard in Clarendon. From the LA Sparks, you feel me? Washington Mystics, you did. Salute to them sisters. They be on a little slide. Get it together, sister. Y'all falling down. Keep it together. Sparks on the rise as well. But late in the game, it was a lot to do about nothing for real. Because I think there's once you, like, you can't just run up on B Sykes like that. It's the thing. B Sykes trying to go at every second. You can't fake push her. You can't do none of that.
None of that.
And she did that to B Sykes and got mushed down a little bit to the ground. You feel me? Help me get up. And that was all. You feel me? It just increased the peace, though, B Sykes.
Increased the peace. I think it's good for the game. Yeah. I think all fights in professional sports are good for the game. Like, when people make a big deal about training camp fights in football, I'm like, the coaches love that. They love it because they want this version of competition, and the fans love it too. As much as they won't admit it, they love it. Like, and I feel like the WNBA starting to fight like the competitors they are. Like, I'm all for it. It was like when we saw Caitlin Clark and Reese from LSU. Like, all the conversation around them that wasn't basketball, and it was like, oh, right. You know, people were like, this isn't good. I'm like, this is great for the game because this is what the sports that people are super, super invested in. This is what we talk about. How rare is it that we actually talk about the X's and O's of basketball? No, we talk about everything outside the W or the NBA, the NFL. And I think it's really cool that, again, we're at this stage. It's like, yeah, baby, we got some fights brewing up. That's what I like to see.
They care. That's the thing. They out there caring like hell. They out Sparks trying to get in the playoffs. It's Missy trying to fight off the dream. Like they care. So it does make you want to go to somewhere that, oh damn, they care this much. Let me check them out.
Yes.
You
hear me? Yes.
Man, trust me, you will not be disappointed. Hey man, salute to Sis too. I know Sis, you know what I mean? Happy birthday, Sis Sydney. You feel me? Happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
It was rough in New York the other day. I know that part. It was rough in New York. So I know they're going to get some get back on, what, the 14th, again. Popcorn ready, man.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you're right. Happy birthday, belated birthday to Sydney Colson. That's our girl. That's our queen of the show. We're going to get her back here, Jew. She's going to be mad she missed you. I know that for sure. All right, we're going to get into some more football when we get back in a little bit.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Journeyman. Jew, we were talking about fighting, which we talked a little bit about this on previous episodes, but I want to hear your perspective. If you had to fight a fan base of any team, what would be the top fan base that you wouldn't want to put on that list?
The dreams and nightmares, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't want no smoke with none of y'all fans. Salute the Freeway, Beanie Siegel, everybody over there, man.
Why the Philadelphia Eagles? and Sixers and Flyers. Why wouldn't you want to fight Philly fans?
Bro, their chant is no one likes us, no one likes us, no one likes us, we don't care. We are Philly, bleeping Philly, no one likes us, we don't care. Anybody who making up songs like that, yeah. I don't really want too much smoke with myself, yeah. You feel me?
They're okay with the smoke.
That sound like a razor blade and all that. I don't got time for you.
Their fan base, it spans across way too many walks of life out there in Philly. Like... They got tough people from every culture there, and them coming together. I completely agree. That was my vote as well. That was the fan base I don't want to see first. I hope I fight them last. But that's good to get your perspective because I feel like you would know best. Now let's transition to the NFL, talking about the Eagles a little bit. There's all these lists that come out at this time of year of like who's the best quarterback, who's the quarterback to watch out for, and it's funny because over the last couple of years. I've been pounding on this table of saying like, yo, this isn't a debate. And it seems like we're already getting bored with a certain player who is by far and away, not just better than people in the league. I think he's the best quarterback of all time already. And that's Patrick Mahomes. He's out here throwing behind the back passes. And he's talked recently or in years past about him wanting to do a behind the back pass in a game. And he has some more clips to add to the repertoire of him throwing behind the back passes. Then the crazy thing is, like, you know, looking in the rundown they put together, like, oh, what's your take on this? Is it cocky to throw a pass behind the back? And it absolutely is. But I want to make sure people understand and know how much better than everybody else Patrick Mahomes is. Like, I mean, you talk about talent. I'm not just talking about the people within the league. And there's a lot of great players. And my favorite quarterbacks in the league are Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. They're my favorites. But nice. If I'm being objective and I'm being honest, Ju, Patrick Mahomes is him. And I'm talking about you put him in a room with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and it's still Patrick Mahomes. That's how talented this dude is.
I second that, bro. And it pains me to second it, but I second it because I'm not a Chiefs fan. I don't like none of that shit they got going on over there. But
none of them championships.
You got to give it up. Just like I wasn't a Kobe fan when he was alive. I like Steve Nash and Paul Pierce and all of them.
But you like mediocrity.
Respect is, you got to give it up, bro. The Mamba mentality, crazy. Behind the back passes, for that to even be a sentence that we're saying here on the Journeyman podcast, that's crazy. Like, behind the back NFL pass, come on, bro. You got Aaron Donald. Like you said, big Aaron Donald right there. Them type of monsters right here chasing you, and you toying with the idea of a behind the back, sir. You're the GOAT. Just watch out.
Bro. He's the GOAT, and Aaron Donald is like in that category too on the defensive side. So I'm glad you brought him up. Carl just asked me in my ear, like, what's the point? And the point is, you ever see a really smart kid who is like the most misbehaved kid in class? And what do they say every time? He needs to be challenged, right? It's too easy for him. This is so easy. I got to entertain myself doing everything else. That is what Patrick Mahomes is in the territory of. Think about it. In his 5 years of starting, he's been to the AFC Championship 5 times. He's been to the Super Bowl 3 times, and he's won 2 of them. He is a Hall of Famer starting 5 years in the NFL. He is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game within 5 years. So, yes, this is probably getting easy to him. And it's funny because when his early parts of his career, whenever he would need a score or when they would go down the field, everybody would know there is nothing you can do to stop it because he is that good. And it's not because, like, you know, Tom Brady, I love Tom Brady's story because it's the underdog mentality, right? Like, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to prove it to you that you were wrong about me, and he carries that chip with him everywhere. There is no chip for Patrick Mahomes, which makes it that much scarier because it's just like, yo, I was put on this earth to play NFL quarterback, and it's natural. He was on the shop one time, and he was saying how he's still learning how to read defenses.
With the mohawk, too, on top of that.
You know what?
Crazy, bro.
So the behind-the-back pass, it's not a matter of if, it's when he does it. And then once he does that, like, that's the thing he's aspiring to. Like, that's the goal for him at this point. It's not Super Bowls. He's going to do those. He's going to win games. He's going to make comebacks. He's going to win MVPs. It's like, what can I do that nobody else has done? Because people have won Super Bowls. They've won AFC championships. They've won MVPs. And, like, when people look back, he wants us to talk about how dominant he was and how he like basically created games within the games. You have to be so good. And again, to bring it back to Joe Thomas, former teammate who played in the Hall of Fame, we were having a conversation one time about injuries, right? Because you play 10,363 consecutive snaps in the NFL, it's nuts. Because it's like, how do you play that long, that physical of a position and never get hurt? And he was explaining it, and he was being so honest, and he was like, oh, well, you know, it's not that hard. It's just that, like, I just knew when I was blocking, I would just always know where I was on the field, and I would always like to kind of check over my shoulder as I'm blocking to make sure that my legs don't get run up on, or I would. And I'm like, you know how good you have to be to not be thinking about stopping, you know, whoever the number one pass rusher is, DeMarcus Ware's, right?
Right.
That's a feat in and of itself to try to stop you from getting by me. You're a Hall of Famer, and he played so many Hall of Famers. But you're so good that you can not only block at the same time, you're also looking at the pile behind you to make sure your ankles don't get run up on. Like, that's a whole different level of talent. And so for Patrick Mahomes, it's like, I'll make the regular throws. I do those in my sleep. Let me try to incorporate some basketball into the NFL. That's crazy.
Bro, some of them folks, the NFL teams, they playing chess. Patrick Mahomes playing Call of Duty, sniping. Like, he ain't even doing this same thing y'all up to.
Right, exactly. Well, Carson Wentz might be playing rock, paper, scissors because my man is out here. You know what I'm saying? He's on social media. I don't know if it's a campaign. And I've been here, man. I've been a street free agent before. And you want to try to show like, hey, I'm still out here. Hey, look at now. A lot going on now. I want some of these calls. And my man had a Eagles helmet on, a Commanders jersey, and Colts pants. Looking like a Photoshop, showing Carson Wentz. Where are we at with him? What is your perspective on Carson Wentz and his career?
Capital G, capital O, capital O, capital F, capital Y.
Is goofy. Oh, he's a goofy.
Come on, brother. I salute to Carson Wentz. We are so proud of you. He led Philadelphia that one year to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Had a rough injury, and Nick Foles came in and shined, took all the shine. Got a statue outside the building. Ain't that a bitch?
Nick Foles got a statue outside the Eagles Stadium?
Saturday special, whatever it's called. Philly special.
Oh, that hurts. That is a hurt piece, boy. Right?
So I know mental health is very important. Mm, so I know definitely can't feel great. But you can't come out there with the immaculate grid of yourself, like, coming, like, bro, you got to just pick a, I wouldn't want no teams. Who you play for now, bro? Like, I would have came out of Nike Tech Fleece Me. Yep. I would have been so fresh. I wouldn't even start thinking about who I used to play for. That's your problem. Yeah. We're looking at the picture saying, failure there. Yep, that was the Sam Heineke years. Oh, yep, that coach shit didn't work. Don't put that on, bro. Go ahead and put on some snake skin or something, bro. Bit, bro.
That is a good perspective. It definitely was giving me backup energy, like backup quarterback energy, because a competing NFL starter that you like, I'm a dog. You're pissed off about not being at those spots. Like y'all got me messed up. Right. That y'all think I'm washed or I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you. I wouldn't be wearing. All of those. I would have worn those at the end of my career when I didn't care. When I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm ready to back it up. I'm ready just to get paid to do nothing. Y'all hit me up. And maybe that's what he's saying. He's like, hey, man, maybe his starter dreams are over.
Nah, you're supposed to wear that to throwing the ball around with your little kids to show that you did play in the league for real. My little kid ain't lying now. I did play quarterback.
Look, I did.
that's one of them outfits.
I be doing that never in my son's game, man. I have to wear my NFL gear to show people like, look, it's team issue now. I was there.
You feel me? Talking
about, coach.
Say Hawkins on the back right
now. That angle ain't right. That's what I'm just telling you. But what do you I feel know? Me? I just ran it against Troy Polamalu. Don't mind me, coach.
Oops.
You got it. You got it. No disrespect. Chris Henry Jr., because you're wearing a Bengals jersey. Chris Henry Jr., who is the son of the late, great Chris Henry. He committed to play at Ohio State, and I feel so old because I'm like, it's wild to see all the players that you know and you cheer for, you played with, and now their kids are playing elite level football and basketball. And you know, and the dopest part of that story is that Chris Henry Jr. is being raised by Pac-Man, who was Chris Henry's teammate, and he kind of took him under his wing, so he's been like, you know, taking care of him and his brother and mentoring him. And the report that I'm getting is that Chris Henry Jr. is like that. Like, You're looking at a future first round pick type. Five-star recruit. Damn. He's 6'5", 6'6". They said he cuts like he's like Deuce Vaughn, who was 5'5", and they said said he can catch a BB in the dark, Jew. So I don't know, man. Yeah.
Like that.
Who's the best legacy athlete that you see coming? Like whose kid are you most excited about watching coming to their own, or who has come into their own, right? Like Gary Payton Jr., yeah. I think, you know, he's not right. GP level, but I think it's always dope, especially when they share the same name. But who are you looking forward to from a legacy perspective?
Right. First and foremost, Pac-Man Jones. Oh, my God. You don't get enough applause. Like, bro, black men doing that type of, setting that type of example for other black men, that's amazing, bro. You got your teammate back in the life and the afterlife. Bro, that's much love. You deserve teammate. All the flowers in
that's
the world
real brother
for that.
Right
you
there.
Raised a boy to become a great man. Like, bro, he on his way. Salute to Pac-Man, bro. Like,
absolutely.
Out, bottom of my heart. But I'm really excited to see. I know Bronny going to USC, you feel me? And much prayers to Bronny now going
prayers
to his health
to the
struggles.
James family.
Yes, sir. And but I want to see the younger James. I feel like he the one, like Melo Ball, Lonzo Ball, Jello Ball. I feel like the little one, I'm excited to see his career because he be in the overtime elites and all the high school career. He getting there.
He looked like, you know, it's the youngest siblings. Or the youngest athletes, I should say, they be, as you go down the line, they lose their, you know, their give a F meter. Like it gets lower and lower as they go down. And for whatever reason, like Brycey, he probably not the athlete that Bronny is. Like when you see a move, jump, quickness, speed, or at least not yet, right? He's still growing and he's honestly getting taller too. But he does have a little dog in him that you like, yo, he know he belong. And like he don't second guess himself. He be in the games like, yo, I'm the one. So I like that pick, man. I like that
with
pick.
With the goggles, too.
With the goggles. I mean? With the rec specs. You got to be a dog to pull up with the rec specs because he can get LASIK tomorrow if he wanted to. He wants you to know. I got the rec specs on, and I'm about to give you buckets. That's a fact, bro. My son wear rec specs, and I'm like, yo, you got to be a dog. You got to be a dog to pull up and give somebody buckets with rec specs, bro. He about to change the game with that one. All right, we're going to talk some more football and Deuce Vaughn when we come back.
Yes, y'all, and we don't stop.
Juju, it's my opinion that there's the biggest sport, well, one of the biggest sports that nobody talks about is actually sports media. Like, I feel like in this day and age, like, this needs its own coverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, in this world where athletes all start podcasts and, you know, people change networks and there's beef, there's Twitter beefs, there are all these things. Like, I feel like it's, like, one of the most untalked about, like, competition aspects of professional sports, which got me thinking about player podcasts. Like, there's a lot of players. Like, you know, when I started my first podcast, well, actually, when I started the Tomahawk Show, which was my first podcast after retiring with Joe Thomas, who was still an active player, that was early in the game. There wasn't any NFL, like, players with shows, and we burst onto the scene, like, kind of crazy. What's crazier is my first podcast, I started with my brother in 2009, called The Two Deep Zone. And it was like, yo, this is going to be the future of media. And we were doing this podcast every week. And then when I started to get looks at the NFL, I'm like, yo, I'm on here talking kind of crazy. Let me slow this down as I'm like talking shit on NFL head coaches. I'm trying to get a job at the same time. So that's why that went defunct. But in this day and age, this is like, these are the new First Takes. You know what I'm saying? These are the new Sports Center. These are the new places. These are not only the sources of the conversations we have on our shows, they're also the source of news and information directly from players' mouths. So there's Podcast P, which is Paul George's show. I'm trying to think. There's All the Smoke, which is Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. There's the I Am Athlete guys with B. Marsh in them. And then there's The Pivot, which is like a spinoff of the I. We're so developed into this, Jew, that the athlete podcast now have spinoff shows. There's The Pivot, right? Which is Ryan Clark and the boys, and they're killing it and crushing it. We got Bussin' with the Boys. Are there any of them specifically that is your favorite, or that ones that you're like, oh, I always got to check in on this one?
First off, Bussin' with the Boys is crazy.
Crazy.
But Podcast P, salute to Podcast P, because he done had a big glow up turnaround. Like,
he did,
he was
man.
Known for being Pandemic P / Playoff P, collapsing under the big moments. Fast forward 3 years, he got the draft picks, top 10 draft picks, calling him the GOAT.
That's crazy.
He Multiple. Got his own podcast where other athletes feel comfortable to come share his space and spill the beans, Pop. Yep. Like, I salute the Podcast P. Everything you got going on, we salute you, brother.
You give him the rookie of the year. You give him the podcast, player podcast rookie of the year. There's Club 508, which is Jeff Teague, which is, you know what, Jeff Teague should be on
Jeff Teague.
He need to come on the Journeyman podcast because he fits the description. We got to get him on here. But that's a good one. Pat Beverly got his podcast. And then there's the Kelsey's.
Heavy hitters out there.
The Kelsey's, they're still rookies, technically, I think. They just started recently. So who would you give your
rookie? Their numbers is through the roof, though. They
crazy.
They don't
numbers.
Count because y'all can't play in a Super Bowl and then like that's
too easy to kick off a podcast.
Right.
It's
that
not
was
fair.
Too and every episode was entertaining. Salute to New Heights.
Yeah.
We see y'all.
Shout
for
out
sure.
to New Heights.
But yeah, I think Pat Bev and Pandemic P, whatever they call it, Podcast P, I think they about neck and neck on the Rookie of the Year pods for the podcast of the awards.
Okay, so you're going to go co-rookies of the year. Is the Draymond Green podcast a rookie show, Carl? No? Carl says no. Not a rookie.
Nah, he ain't getting it.
He said he's been doing it 2 years plus. Can't be a rookie.
We don't promote violence here, like he said. You can't be punching your teammates and get the podcast of the year. Nah.
You can't.
You disqualified.
Don't do that, man. You got to keep it on the field. Everything off. We can't take that into account. Old man in the three. JJ Redick been in the podcast game for a long time. He's kind of probably... He probably the pioneer of the athlete podcast. I'm trying to think who before him like was really, really in it. Carl might know this.
Let's see. Before JJ Redick got ESPN
road tripping,
all this stuff.
But
too.
I think Redick might have been before Road Tripping because I was there for Road Tripping. And Road Tripping was dope. They were also pioneers of like the way that they did it. But I think JJ might have even been in the podcast game before that.
Dang.
We gotta do
salute
some research.
Old man
going.
Three, bro.
It's still old man.
Jason Gallagher. I see he one of the producers over there.
I have a little theory that I feel like when it comes to scouting podcasts, I feel like I might be one of the best. Man.
Yeah.
I feel like it. I have Bustin' with the Boys. I was trying to get them signed. I'm like the old record execs that go on Noriega's show. And they talk about like how I was trying to get Kanye signed. That was me with the podcast. I was trying to get Bustin' with the Boys signed. I was trying to get All the Smoke signed.
And you feel me?
They was
salute. Hey, salute the big bro. 1 second.
You know
salute
what I'm saying?
Bro, Steven Jackson. That's my big.
All
dog,
the smoke.
You know
all
mean?
The smoke. They had All the Smoke first. I'm like, yo, we got to go. Smoke. Matt Barnes. We had I had another podcast that I named All the Smoke, but I also helped develop. And name another show Matt Barnes was doing in his first episode was with Marshawn Lynch. And that ended up turning to and spinning into All the Smoke.
Look, bruh. Look, you gotta give my boys flowers right now. You feel me? The heart.
You know?
So I'm gonna give you the flowers.
Give me my podcast.
That's some heavy
flowers,
hitters
man.
You just named. You didn't just name
this
some.
This is the top.
Right, you ain't just named the Mystery Crate or some old other shit. You named some the top of the pops right now when it comes to the podcast game.
Easy.
I'm talking about Showtime big deals.
Big
salute,
deals.
Bro. That
That's crazy, millions of dollars man. Of revenue right there. If I'd have just had my own label, I could have been Diddy of the podcast game. So sticking with the media stuff, Juju. All right, so now we got some shuffling going on in the take atmosphere of sports media. So Shannon Sharpe leaves. Stephen A. comes out and says he wants Shannon Sharp. How do you feel about that? And typically, if Stephen A. says it, that means it's in the works. So how do you feel about a Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp first take tandem taking over ESPN? Are you for it? Are you against it? Is this like when you put two of like the same side battery together and they repel each other? You know what I'm saying? Because they both were opposite Skip Bayless, which is he just made a nice little chess move himself that we got to talk about. But how do you feel about a Stephen A. and Shannon Sharpe first take show?
Bro, I love it. I feel like salute to Unk. Like Unk got away from that my guy Skip and him and Stephen A. They I think they understand how much money to be made during this time of the 2023. Like they paying big bucks for them to get it together.
Big
so
bucks.
I think they're gonna be very professional. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna keep it together. The people on set though, y'all had to wear some earpods or some earbuds to keep the noise down because it's gonna be loud, especially whenever they play the Cowboys and Big Michael Irvin scroll in.
Oh,
it's gonna
man.
Be the loudest day on Seaport history. But the numbers are gonna probably go through the roof.
Here's why this is a pioneering step in sports media. Because the formula for this for the last decade plus is white guy, black guy, right? You take opposing sides. And honestly, if we're being honest, that's a lot of sports, right? That's why
Talk
the Caitlin Clark and the Reese thing was like, people were picking sides. That's why the Alabama fight thing goes viral. Like,
Talk
you know, if
it.
I'm being honest, we are who we are, all of us. And it's like, okay, you want to see these fights and you want to see these disagreements and these debates. And that has been the formula. This will be kind of the next step, very similar to the like quarterbacks where it was like, oh, man, there can't be black quarterbacks. Well, now nobody bats an eye at black quarterbacks. They had to rush and get those documentaries out because people stopped caring. You're like, what are you talking about? Like, that don't even make sense no more, buddy. You see Mahomes out here throwing behind the back passes. Well, now right. in sports media, you're going to have a debate show where it's like, oh, it's weird. Even the way I described it coming in. As two same sides of the battery. These people aren't the same. It's just that they both the black guys opposite Skip Bayless. And yeah. if this works, or even the fact that they're doing it, it's kind of taking the next step of being like, okay, more dismantling of the same structures that we've seen for so long.
Right, right. I think they're going to come in and clean up their, because they're perceived a certain way also right now mm-hmm. as the loud or boisterous or whatever, but I think they're going to come in and do a fantastic job. Football season around the corner. I can't wait to tune in, man.
And just when I thought Skip Bayless had no more tricks up his sleeve, a boy reaching his bag, and I'm like, oh, it's over for Skip. He old. You know, he had the DeMar Hamlin situation. It's like, oh, he ain't going to make it out.
Oh, my
They go
God.
And sign Richard Sherman to debate alongside of him. And I'm like, damn it, Skip is the GOAT. I did not see... that curveball coming. And we all remember the viral clip where Richard Sherman was a rookie. He was an all-pro, and he told Skip in front of his face, and we all loved it. It was like viral before there was like really, really viral media clips, is that in my 23 years of life, I'm better at life than you, was a mic drop. And it was like, oh, these people are going to hate each other forever. Fast forward 15 years, Skip got him one. The boy is back, Juju.
Hey, it's Sherman. He wasn't lying. Look what he's doing now. Hey, salute.
Oh, man. Salute to them boys. They got it. So we'll see what the First Take morning show Sports Wars make of this year. Who wins, Stephen A. and Shannon or Richard Sherman and Skip? But the winner always here is the Journeyman Podcast. All right, Juju, we appreciate you. And that does it for this week's Journeyman Podcast. Make sure you journey back next week. Same time, same place. Shout out to my boy Juju Gotti of the Dan Le Batard Show. And until next time, knuck if you buck.